It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Hey, Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here, checking out the series. Of course, you know what to do. If you like what you see, what you hear, please do hit that subscribe button. I put out three new interviews every single week, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artist. A new interview every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Spotify and Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. In fact, some of my recent guests have included Japanese House, Boy Named Banjo, Brandon Flowers of The Killers, Courtney McBroom from Lessons in Chemistry on Apple TV+, Chris Shiflett of the Foo Fighters, Liz Phair, Sarah Silverman, Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses, Felicia Day, Susan Tedeschi, How I Met Your Mother's Josh Radner, Kristen Hirsch from Throwing Muses, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith, today talking with director David Yates and producer Lawrence Gray about the film Pain Hustlers that's out now on Netflix. Now, this tells the story of Liza Drake, played by Emily Blunt, a blue-collar single mom who's lost her job and is at the end of her rope when a chance meeting with a pharmaceutical sales rep played by Chris Evans puts her on an upward trajectory economically, but dubious path ethically, as she becomes entangled in a dangerous racketeering scheme and dealing with her increasingly unhinged boss, brilliantly played by Andy Garcia, as well as the worsening medical condition of her daughter, Chloe Coleman, and a growing awareness of the devastation the company is causing, forces Liza to examine her choices and ultimately gives a revealing look at what some people do out of desperation and others do out of greed. Now, David and Lawrence are going to talk about why they wanted to take on a story about the fentanyl epidemic How this movie shows us a look behind the curtain of Big Pharma, as told through the sales rep. Lawrence, who also produced the Steven Soderbergh-directed The Laundromat, is going to tell us how most of the outlandish parts of the story, some of my favorite parts, popcorn towers and stuff, puppy dog toys, actually did come from real life. Well, David is going to talk about directing Emily Blunt as a complicated hero/villain and how her character is already resonating with viewers. And David, by the way, you know, as if it needs to be mentioned, famously directed the final four Harry Potter films, as well as the Fantastic Beasts trilogy. So we're going to discuss what it was like to leave the world of wizardry to get back to a more point-and-shoot style of filmmaking. All that and more as we discuss Pain Hustlers, out now on Netflix. It's Kyle Meredith with David Yates and Lawrence Gray.
Nice to meet you, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
Congratulations on Pain Hustlers here. It's an obviously important story that you guys have told, and it's also very fun at the same time. I know that's a fine line to walk. But I know it's especially important considering the fentanyl epidemic that has been going on. You know, I was thinking like Prince. I mean, some of my heroes, it's already taken Prince and Petty come to mind amongst the thousands or millions. I know this is the obvious setup, but why did you all want to take on this specific story?
It felt very much part of the national conversation in America. It sort of, looking at it from Europe, from the outside, it was just an extraordinary thing to witness. So many people losing their lives. And given that we haven't quite got to the same point yet in our own crisis, I was compelled to find out why it was happening. And then we came across Evan Hughes's article in the New York Times Magazine and discovered that Lawrence and Wells were chasing the same article. We sort of came together, joined forces, and we knew from the very outset we didn't want to tell a story that was like eat your vegetables drama. We wanted to sort of bring as big an audience as possible to the issue and to the ideas within the film. So we, right from the get-go, developed a story and a screenplay that felt accessible, entertaining, but at the same time brought home the issues within the crisis.
Yeah, Lawrence, you know, I was also thinking, like, this has sort of become its own genre at this point, even you coming off of The Laundromat not too long ago. What does it mean when you're telling a story like this? Do you see it sort of in that world at this point, like as a world?
I see each film project, you know, independently and what's compelling about each story. And, you know, this one, in a strange way, I had been looking to do something in the opioid space, but this felt almost like something completely different, like a peek behind the curtain of the world of pharma. It's true that the product Liza is selling in the film is an opioid product, but it seemed like so much more. It's as we read the story, this world of pharma is just incredible. You really haven't seen it explored vividly behind the scenes. And the story of the excess of these pharma salespeople really seemed like an incredible lens to be able to tell a larger story about our medical industry. You don't often get to see this level of debauchery, this level of excess. We saw, in addition to the article, David and I came across a video early on of pharma executives dressed as fentanyl products, essentially wrapping their crimes. So when you have an opportunity to find a subculture like that, it just felt like an amazing, amazing story and amazing opportunity.
Those moments do seem rich for the movie too. And even beyond, you know, like the stuff we see Andy Garcia and Catherine O'Hara doing, popcorn towers and stuffed puppy dogs. Like, and I think that's where the whole comedy, like, is. I know some of this is taken, you know, is that the real life stuff as well? Was that in the story? Is that you guys being able to have some fun?
Yeah, well, it's a very interesting balance, the film. A lot of the specifics and those details as it relates to the criminal conspiracy, but even as it relates to things like CEO of a company being busted by emails because he might have an affair, or the bribery and the speakers programs and the little details like popcorn towers, that stuff is actually all incredibly well observed and real. Where we took license was we wanted to be able to tell a larger story about the industry, and Liza, the character played by Emily Blunt, is a composite of many different pharma executives in order to be able to cover a lot of ground. So it was really a balance between truth and fiction. But really, I think the strength of the film, one of the great strengths of the film that David brought to it with Wells's help, was just how well observed, how real, how vivid, how honest the world of pharma is portrayed.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. We're talking Pain Hustlers with David Yates and Lawrence Gray.
Yeah, David, directing Emily Blunt, who, you know, again, the tricks that you get to pull off, because she's not a hero, but she is. You know, she's an underdog, but still knows that she's doing something wrong the whole time. Like, what did you want this character to be? I mean, because we like her. We're cheering for her at the end, even as she's going to jail.
That's good to hear. You know, we wanted her to be an everywoman, someone that we could all relate to. We wanted her to be flawed and vulnerable and ambitious and greedy. We wanted her to be someone who wasn't perfect, someone who was undervalued, underappreciated, unrecognized, despite her skill set of empathy and emotional intelligence. So this is, and actually, you know, Emily was traveling back from LA to New York. She's getting on an aircraft. The day before our film had screened in a recruit screening, a test screening for people, we're just sort of playing the film for an audience just to see how they responded to it, to learn about what was working, what wasn't working. And as Emily was lifting her bag into the luggage rack, this guy who was on the plane said, "Let me do that for you." And he said, "You're Liza Drake, aren't you?" And she went, whoa, how do you know I'm Liza Drake? And he said, "I saw your movie last night. I was at a test screening." And he talked about Liza Drake like she was a real person. And he said at the end of their conversation, and Emily said, "It was so freaky and amazing." And she said, "You know what? I really like Liza, but I wouldn't have done what she did. I wouldn't have turned myself in." And the audience were responding to Liza like she was one of them. You know, and that's what we liked about this character, that she isn't a sort of clean-cut heroine. She's someone who has flaws and vulnerabilities, and lets her ambition and her greed get the better of her. And that's what we loved about the character. And that's what a regular audience acknowledged. They sort of feel there's a truth in that complexity and in that nuance. And Emily immediately let Lawrence and I know about that conversation, and it blew our minds that someone had already sort of so been taken by Liza Drake as this every woman.
And I will ride that train as well. I mean, to feel like that she is the real person, to not see that ending coming in the same way and just feel a little heartbroken in the entire time. Mm-hmm. You know, and David, for you, you know, a decade in the wizard world, was this any kind of recalibration for you to kind of do this type of thing? Did you have to reset your mind?
Do you know, the films I made previously and the wizard in JK's world, they're very stage-based predominantly. They're on big sound stages here in England, north of London. So we would build the most incredible sets. And in this movie, it would be Lawrence and I and our crew, our tight-knit little crew, flying around Miami or Atlanta, whizzing between location to location to location, piling out with a few trucks in tow, and setting up for a few hours and filming, and then getting in the van again and getting in the trucks and going off to the next location. So it was very much before I started making big movies for Warner Brothers in that wizarding world, I was making dramas for British television. And those dramas were made in very much the way we made this. You moved quickly. There was a lot of spontaneity, and you wherever you pointed your camera was the real world, and that was your film set, and that was liberating and exciting for me to be diving into that again, compared to waiting 3 months for a big set to be built. it was an exhilarating change of pace for me.
It is a great movie, and I'm so happy you guys made this story, that I got to learn about it through this and through these characters. Congratulations on this, and thanks to you both for taking the time to talk about it.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
And my thanks to David and Lawrence. Pain Hustlers is out now on Netflix. Thanks to you, of course, for checking out the episode. Again, before you get out of here, I do hope you hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover those new ones. Again, you can do so at any of the usual podcast places. That includes Spotify, Apple Podcast, at NPR, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. After that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. You get the best in new music. There's bonus interviews, music news as well. One of my recent shows had the music of Joni Mitchell, Laura Meesh, Girl School, T-Rex, Prince, Alt-J, Rilo Kiley, Matthew Sweet, Citizen King, Jewel, the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, the Kills, Everclear, Johnny Marr, The Velvet Underground, Mitski, Etta James, R.L. Burnside, Sharon Jones, Blur, Courtney Barnett, Jimi Hendrix, The Chemical Brothers, Beck, U2, The Flaming Lips, Bob Mould, The Pixies, and my interview with Annie Weissman, who is the creator and showrunner of Physical on Apple TV+. Just an example of what you get every weeknight starting at 6 p.m. at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. And of course, you can always find me on the social media sites. The address is always the same, at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.